Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this February 28th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from the ODC. We'll have Anne joining us, and maybe she'll bring a friend. We're looking forward to it if she does and talking with them. Right now, looking forward to this conversation, as we always do. Whenever we have Lance Plimlin with us, Wood County Board Chairman. Always appreciate the time, Lance. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, James. Always happy to be here and be part of your show.
And you brought a friend.
I brought a friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, I brought Bill Lightnum, and Bill chairs our... it's called our SEED committee. That's the acronym, but it's Conservation, Education, Economic Development. And one of the things they deal with is water. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we wanted to talk about today, because they have a fairly large presentation coming up here that's going to be open to the public. We want to make sure we make them aware of the issue, the problems, and the opportunity to show up at that. So at this point, I'm going to probably, basically be quiet, let you talk to the expert who is Bill.
I did want to say a note to you real quick, Lance. I was looking at our notes, some of our early interviews you and I did together, and discovered that I've been doing this about 5-6 years now together, you and I and our Midday Magazine guests and everything. And in that time, this topic continues to come up. I think you could make the argument it's the most consistent conversation that comes up, our water quality, and talking about this. Any opportunity we have to touch on it, I appreciate that. And especially bringing in somebody like Bill, who, as you said, knows what he's talking about here.
Yeah, I mean, I might know this, a half an inch deep, and Bill knows it all the way to the bottom of the pool or lake or reservoir. The interesting part is, this is just something that's imperative to quality of life in an area and to have a place where people feel safe, can live. And one of the most interesting studies I've been part of in the last couple of years was, where is the most in-migration going to happen in the United States in the next 50 years? And the answer, a shocking surprise to me, was Duluth, Minnesota. You're going, really? I thought everybody left Duluth to go south,
right.
Hit the warm weather. But it was based on natural disasters, quality of life, but most importantly, kind of an unlimited supply of fresh water if you don't ruin it.
So right.
So that's my segue to the guy who can tell you how to get there.
Nicely done, Ryan. It's nicely done. It is the simplest of basic needs. It is the simplest of things that we ask of our society. Clean water. It doesn't get much more basic than that. But yeah, here we are, Bill, with this situation. And Lance mentioned that you have a program coming up that we want to talk about and highlight. Before we get to there, Bill, let's talk a little bit about the history of this issue and how long you've been involved with it and some of the things that you've seen with this. So let's start right there. Where did this start and how long has this been going on, this organization?
Okay, interestingly enough, James, for me, it started, I've been on the county board now for 5 terms. Huh. And so it started in 2014, actually started in 2012. But I ran on a platform of protecting our water. And as you just said a few minutes ago, our number one natural resource, no doubt about it. I think that's undisputed. So at any rate, 5 terms on the county board. Over that time, I've been really interested in this. Became chairman of SEED, as Lance alluded to. I'm also chairman of the Citizens Water Group from Wood County, which sort of reports to SEED. I'm also the chairman of a 6-county collaborative, which is Juneau, Adams, Wood, Washera, Portage, and Marquette. It's called a Counties Collaborative. It's made up of county board supervisors, members of the land, county cons, and then members of the health departments from all 6 counties.
I appreciate all of that, Bill. Really, really do. I also have, my first question is, when do you sleep? Do you have hobbies? Do you have any person? No, I'm joking. It shows the passion that you have for this. It also shows how much we need this, that we have that many different things going on involving this particular topic. You guys both have mentioned SEED. I don't know if that's something that the community completely knows about inside and out and everything. Can we touch on that a little bit, where that program started and the purpose of it?
Seeing I'm chair, you want me to take that?
Go ahead. Yeah, it's just another acronym, but go ahead, Bill.
Okay, the acronym that Lance just mentioned is Conservation, Education, and Economic Development. And I think that's a real nice mesh of topics that are related to each other.
Yeah.
In many other counties that I work with, there's usually a land and water conservation committee. Mm-hmm. But we've taken that extra step and included some other departments.
Yeah.
So one of the things I majorly want to do is talk about our program, our event. Mm-hmm. So if we can jump into
Let's dive right in.
Okay.
Yeah. No okay, pun intended, so this we're talking about water. I didn't mean
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah, kind of caught that. Okay, so the date is March 18th. It's 6 p.m. at Macmillan Library. Everybody in the area knows where that is. I don't know how wide your radio audience is, but 490 East Grand Avenue, mm-hmm. Wisconsin Rapids. The title of the program is The Future of Clean Drinking Water in the Central Sands. So kind of what we're doing here is we're going east and basically south, mm-hmm. the counties that I mentioned previously. Mm-hmm. What I want to spend the most time on this morning is the four panelists mm-hmm. who will be the presenters. And seeing you sitting beside me here, I think I have to mention this. The program will be moderated by our Wood County Board Chair and also the president of the Wisconsin Counties Association.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's pretty impressive when we get somebody that high-powered a personality.
To be
our moderator. Okay, so four panelists. Probably the most noteworthy, the one who will speak first, is Dr. George Kraft. A name that's pretty familiar in the area. Mm-hmm. He's professor emeritus at UW-Stevens Point. He worked in the School of Watershed Science for probably 3 decades. I don't know if it's 27 years or 34, but he was there for a long, long time. As a researcher and a hydrogeologist, and what he studied in all that time is issues of widespread nitrate and pesticide pollution, and then everything related to that. Mm. He was trained by Bernard Shaw. Is that the right name?
Mm. You got me. You're the water expert.
Yeah. I believe it is.
And then he trained Kevin Mazarek, who's there now.
Wow.
So when you get somebody like George Kraft, you have somebody that's been looking at nitrates now, mm-hmm. we'll be talking about, since the 1970s. More specifically to the 1990s, and then right on to present day.
Not only a person who knows his stuff and has the brain for this and the schooling and everything, but also the data and the history of this as well. So okay. Yeah, you're right. That's a great speaker to have there.
And so I know some of the things he's going to say because I've listened to him many times. I don't know where the program's going to go this morning. But I can fill in a little bit of that if you think your audience would be interested.
Absolutely, yes.
Let's go on to some of the other people, though.
And we'll come back to that.
Yep. So Dr. Kraft, number one. The next panelist is Melissa Johnson, somebody I've known for almost all of the 5 terms that I've been on the county board also. She was former director for solid waste management, solid waste. For both Portage and Marathon counties, and I think it was at the same time that she was doing that job. She's in semi-retirement now, but knowing her personality, it's kind of what you alluded to, you know, when do they sleep? Currently, she's the executive director, so we have a high-powered speaker here of Wisconsin Green Fire. And Wisconsin Green Fire is a nonprofit that's dedicated to conserving and preserving our natural resources.
Another great speaker.
So while George will be talking about nitrates and a related item, pesticides, Melissa's going to be talking about PFAS and PFOs.
Excellent.
Okay. So then the third member of the panel is Wood County's own Ben Jeffrey. He's number two at the health department. He is what's titled the environmental health supervisor or the environmental health officer for Wood County. But James, it's bigger than that. Ben is also contracted by the Wood County Health Department is by Adams and Juneau County. So he serves in that same capacity for 3 counties. And what Ben is gonna do is he's gonna look at data that was gathered over the past 6 months, very specific to Wood County. Our health director used 6 student interns from UW-Eau Claire working through the wood of it at Marshfield, that campus. And she gave them 5 things to do as related to PFAS in our drinking water. And so one of the things that comes into play here is everybody thinks, okay, drinking water is just a problem for those rural residents who need to test their own water. Not true.
Yeah.
Municipal systems are just as much involved in this, and I think that's where Ben is going to go. What we did when the 3 of us met he was directed to have the student interns look at each of the smaller communities, mm-hmm. the Pittsfields, the Auburndales, the Vespers, that have municipal systems, and say, what do you do to look for PFAS in municipal water? Mm-hmm. So not just private rural wells.
Right, right.
Okay, and then the last person, somebody I want to spend a little bit of time talking about, is the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg. One of the questions that I would hope you would ask me or somebody would ask at some point is, who's doing anything about this?
It's number one on my list.
Katie is doing something about it.
Yeah.
So here's what's happened with Katie. They found along the Wisconsin River, predominantly in downtown Wausau, six municipal wells, all sky high in PFAS. First question, where'd it come from?
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Okay. Second question, how are we going to provide municipal water for 40,000 residents of the Wausau area? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer was we need to build a wholly different plant, different sort of facility.
Yes.
So what Katie was able to do, and I think I probably bear credit where credit is due here, the Wausau City Council mm-hmm. and Mayor
yes.
Katie Rosenberg, yeah. What they were able to do was to secure $17.5 million from the federal government to build not only a water treatment plant, but a PFAS removal and processing plant. That went on so, that went together so fast. We had the director of public works down here, his name is Eric Lindman, mm-hmm. to talk to us. And they built that facility so fast you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So at any rate, who's doing something about this? Katie's doing something about this. And I am thrilled because I've never met the lady, although I think Lance has. I'd like to hear her speak.
I've spoke with her once, and just in that one conversation was really, I was already a fan and became an even bigger fan of her afterwards. We're very fortunate in our area here in Wood County and even surrounding cities. We've got a lot of great mayors and a lot of people doing some good work. Katie at one of the top at the forefront of that and some of the things that she is dealing with in that city and the area, not just with this situation, but with other ones. Any chance I can, I'll shout her out. I'm glad to see she's a part of this too, not only because of the good work she's doing and who she is as a person, but to have other cities represented. as far as I know, and I did my homework on this one and double checked, rivers don't end at city lines. I had to triple check that just to make sure and everything. So this isn't just a one city problem. This isn't just even a one county problem or a one state issue. This is something that literally travels up and down our whole country. And it's something that the only way to tackle something like that is with a large group of people with many different voices and opinions and thoughts to tackle this, because there's people out there that we're losing on this fight. We're people that, like, everybody wants better water. And I would like to think, Lance, in a divisive year like this and everything, this is one topic we can get everybody on board on. Like, okay, everybody wants clean water, right? Everybody. But yet we have people who are getting, like, to a point where they're getting burned out. They're just, to be blunt about it, they hear PFAS in this conversation, they hear PFAS in that, and all of a sudden they start tuning out. And that is one of the most dangerous things in the world. When we get people to not care, when we get people numb to a subject, it's so important to have a discussion like this that we're having right now, and to have this this great Citizens Water Group united and putting together something like you guys are going to be doing on the 16th. I really appreciate that, Bill, and all the people coming together on this.
You know, James, part of the reason for the collaboration and some of the groups that Bill's been instrumental in putting together is not only don't rivers end, their communities don't end at political boundaries. Mm-hmm. We always laugh. People have no idea what capacity we even really serve, and I get people from Portage County that think I happen to be their county board chairman because they live in the town of Grant. Obviously, same aquifers, mm-hmm. same problems. But not only is this a health concern, which it is, it's also an economic development concern, because that's what I talked about with Duluth, is those companies that look to locate or relocate to build new facilities and factories, they're looking for this. They need clean water. And generally speaking, Wisconsin has pretty good water, or at least an abundance of water compared to the rest of the country. So, the first part is, as Bill said, is we got it. Let's not. It's easier not to ruin it than to fix it later.
Yeah.
So how can we be proactive? And then at the end of the day, how do we be reactive if we need to put something in place to make sure that the citizens of our area are clean? And I'm hoping that if you go to this program, you come away with some of that knowledge and some of the ability to, you know, on your own, be proactive or at least work in that direction within your community.
We're speaking with Lance Plimo, Wood County Board Chairman, along with our friend Bill Lightman, with Wood County Board Supervisor and Chairman of the Citizens and Water Group. I want to send a shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well of being here. Bill, you mentioned that you had some notes on Dr. Kraft. Did you want to go back to that, or did you already include those?
Yeah, just let's finish up just 1 second, James. The date of that event is March 18th. And then to finish out what I talked about as far as who's going to be there, our moderator, our panelist, I wanted to just put this plug in that the program is designed so that probably the last 45 minutes, let's say from 7:15 on, there will be a question and answer segment for the audience. And we've sent out invitations to 90 different organizations, politicians, other groups that we thought would be interested. We did this 4 years ago in Nakusa. And I was really surprised at that event, at that time, when I walked out into the audience, how many people, a long ways away, a lot of people from Madison there. A lot of people from the UW-Madison there. But anyway, I wanted to mention that question and answer session at the end.
Yeah, I see the League of Women Voters are going to be involved in this. We always like to shout them out, appreciate them. Great organization.
And while you're
people.
Doing a shout-out, then trying to think of the acronym here, the Clean Green Action Group from Wisconsin Rapids, they'll be there helping us too.
Excellent.
Okay, before I go back to Dr. Kraft, scope of the problem. I really think your audience needs to know this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much of a threat, how much of a danger is there? Some statistics for your audience. 1 million of the 6 million people that live in Wisconsin drink from rural private wells. So that's that component, 1/6 of our population.
Wow.
And then municipal systems. Let's talk about that for a minute. Statistically, I can go back to 2012. Actually, I can go back farther than that. But in 2012, there were 47 of 611 municipal systems. Now, this is nitrates that had, as they intake the water into the system, they had a parts per million level over the federal recommended 10 parts per million. So they were taking in water to treat. That was water that couldn't
be treated.
Right. Huh. And then the 10 parts per million is way too high. Pregnant women, little children should be 2 parts per million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was 2012, 47 out of 611. Mm. Before that, in 1999, it was 14 out of 611. Okay, let's go more recently. In 2017, Wisconsin is ranked 11th worst. 11th worst among the 50 states. We've had 1,400 safe drinking water violations reported to, I suppose, the Department of Health Services or DADCAP or the DNR or whatever. Today, in large cities in Wisconsin, PFAS can be found in Dane County, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Wausau, as we talked about before. On a rural level, the town of Stella, east of Rylander, has gotten a lot of press recently because of the paper mill sludge being spread on potato fields there. And where did the PFAS come from?
I'll let
your audience figure that out.
Yeah, I think we can fill in the blanks on that one, which does bring us back to a bigger issue on this, because not a bigger issue, but another part of this issue to me. And I just real quick want to throw in there that it's great to see all these individuals. It's great to see so much of the community involved in this. I want to see more businesses involved in this. I want to see more CEOs. I want to see more companies being involved in this and on this topic. Not so much necessarily maybe these kind of meetings or programs we have, but I speaking for myself here, nobody else, would like to see a lot more companies being involved in these conversations. Bill, you were saying...
Last thing is as far as what I was talking about with regard to the scope of the problem. 27 million Americans out of our total population drink from community water systems who have found at least one PFAS in their system and have to treat it. 27 million.
That's incredible.
How big of a problem is this? I think when I got on the county board 10 years ago, people were looking at me like, oh, what's this problem? Here's an environmentalist. It's all of our environment.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You wanted me to talk about Dr. Kraft for just a minute, and I wish I had time to do that with the other three panelists. Mm-hmm. But here's one of the things you're going to hear from Dr. Kraft, because I've heard it I don't know how many times. Where does the nitrate problem come from? It comes from fertilizer and manure. And he'll say that that's 96% of the problem coming from ag.
Wow. Wow.
96%. Okay, so that begs everybody to say, okay, what's the other 4%? Even though we know what 96% is. Mm-hmm. The other 3% is from failed or failing septic systems. Hmm. So that's, we're at 99 now. That's the other 3%. And then 1% is from those overzealous subdivision landowners, people in, you know, city lots, golf courses, that put way too much lawn fertilizer on. Mm. You know, it's recommended 4 times a year on every major holiday. Yeah. You don't need it that often.
No, no.
So Dr. Kraft would say, where's it coming from? As far as nitrates, that's where the contaminants are coming from.
So. And this is an issue, I think, that, you know, we've been talking 20-some minutes about this. And if you've been listening that whole time, you're sitting there, and even if you knew up on this kind of information, it can be daunting. It can be a lot to take in. I want to make sure that it is clear to the audience that this is something that we can do something about. This is something that we can make. We've already made some ground on, and we can continue to. We can improve this thing. This is not too big for us. And let's never forget, and I don't care how corny this sounds, we're Americans, damn it. Like, we get things done. We wanted to get to the moon, we did it. We wanted to do this, we did it. Like, that's what we do in this country. Let's take some pride in our state. Let's take some pride in our land, and let's improve this situation, because we can. We can do this. It's not too big of an issue. It's not too big of a problem. It could be if we don't do enough about it. And thankfully, we have people like yourselves that are working on this, and many other people that are. But it is something that it's so easy to get overwhelmed by these situations, and it's understandable to get overwhelmed. Just don't forget that this is something we could do something about, and we need more and more people to be on this cause and on the right side of history with this. What you guys have coming up on the 18th is another opportunity for people not only to learn more about it, but to show those things. Bill, before we let you go, can we go over the program one more time, the future of clean drinking water in Central Stance?
Okay. So the title of the program is The Future of Clean Drinking Water in the Central Sands. Expands beyond that. It expands statewide and nationwide. Date, March 18th, 6 p.m., Macmillan Library, 490 East Grand Avenue. We have 4 panelists, Dr. Kraft, Melissa Johnson, Ben Jeffries, and Katie Rosenberg, moderated by our own Lance Plummel. And I don't know how much time you've got here, but just a little comment that I think some of your viewers will find interesting. Lance and I are fortunate enough to work in a nonpartisan atmosphere. Mm-hmm. This problem is nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I see happening, I heard Channel 7 last night talking about PFAS money that could be spent, $125 million. It's caught in a partisan quarrel.
Mm-hmm.
Not good.
Yeah, it's who gets good credit. You know, and what we're looking at, you know, how do you blend best practice, which we can work on, affordability, and then incorporate new technologies? You know, where do we go and how do we get it done?
Go to this, find out more, and be involved in this, everybody. Appreciate the time from you guys. Thank you so much for it. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with some more fun on Midday Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.